Let us now touch upon the employment opportunities, right? Employment opportunities in this industry. So, if you see, you have a good spread of domains, and one doesn't necessarily need to be, I would say, experienced or specialized in a particular industry or domain only, right? So, you have, we'll touch upon in brief each of these. So, you have the IT, ITS sector, then financial services, healthcare, call center services, e-commerce websites, travel industry, retail services, educational institutions, manufacturing and telecom sector. And the reason for mentioning this is earlier the outsourcing was synonymous only with the call center outsourcing, but that is not the case, and you see that industries like travel and retail are actively now part of this particular concept. So, looking at each one of them in a little more brief, the IT, ITES, so this is where you have the larger part of software development taking place, right? You have the IT staffing, help desk services, infrastructure managed services, this is huge, right? Primarily large organizations are into big contracts on doing the entire infrastructure management services for big companies. So, IT, ITS, and as we saw earlier, software development was one of the key area there. That's number one. Second is financial services. This is also, I would say, largely a growing industry where you have the activities like payroll processing, financial analysis, accounting, bookkeeping. These kind of services also on the rise. So, if you are a finance guy, or have background in finance, you do have a placeholder for an opportunity in this sector. Healthcare services is the next. Surprisingly, this is a strongly governed sector, governed by strict laws like HIPAA and all. And here, a good portion of teleradio services, right? Medical transcription services, healthcare claims. So these are large activities happening in the Western country, and they have a big need of covering up or sourcing such services. So this is also, I would say, a top ranking sector in the outsourcing area. Call center services, you do have inbound and outbound call centers working effectively here. Telemarketing is covered, again these sectors also cover email support or a smaller part of technical support services as well. So, that's another larger area which is the call center services. Then you have the e-commerce website that has a specific mention because of the online business that's catching up. So, the online ordering or the refund processing. In fact, online ordering is huge, and especially in current times of the corona pandemic, you are seeing that most of the activities were largely happening because of the online availability. While the government restricted some of these only to essential services, but during lax time, you saw that this industry did well in terms of having things being made available right at the doorstep. So, there's a huge process running at the background for this industry also. Handling the website is not easy in terms of keeping it updated with the inventories and ensuring that a full cycle from ordering to delivery workflow is taking place. Next is the travel industry where you have the entire bookings or cancellations happening or taking place, right? You have a good number of, I would say, international travel firms tying up or outsourcing these activities to a large number of companies in Asia. For sure, this particular sector is at a low currently, but it is a big business area. Then you have the retail services, which talks of ordering and status checking. So, So again, retail aligns to, it can go as part of a lot of other activities as well. So this is also a big area covered there in terms of a domain available under this industry. You have the next three. The first one is the educational institution. Now, surprisingly, this industry is also catching up in terms of the need for students across to have information on the courses, like and then even fees processing. So these are some of the processes covered under educational institution. Then you have manufacturing, where component information, ordering, or support services are made available. So manufacturing is another domain here. And finally, we talk of we touch upon the telecom sector, where you have the service information or complaint processing taking place. So these were I would, as I mentioned, 10 odd domains where you have opportunities from a domain perspective, not just a job perspective, but yes, a job to probably your liking perspective, right? Let us also touch upon how this industry is going ahead or moving ahead in terms of providing the number of jobs to employees or people. So this industry is responsible for creating the second highest number of jobs, right? It is I would say it has a large market catering, because it's outsourcing the entire stuff, and where you have resources involved. So this is a big supporter of giving or providing a good number of jobs. And then the estimates are that this would cross 400 billion by 2022, right? So hopefully that should be the case. And then here the demand is slowly rising for skilled resources. It's no longer I would say unskilled or a non-specialized area. It is moving ahead into skilled and specialized areas. And of course, this is equal opportunities employer. There are no restraints, at least that I have heard of. So this is an equal opportunity employer. So if you look at this particular table, where which shows the impact on working, while this is a little light here, but it is important to understand the construct. So it has three different columns. The first one talks of the traditional way of doing things. Second is the current way, and third is emerging, right? So if you look at this very carefully, you have aspects of job security, the corporate career structure, loyalty to the organization, and other points. Let's pick a couple of them so that you get an idea of where things are moving to, right? What is the foresight? So if you see the job security aspect, right? So earlier that was the kind of need of a employee to have job security. Now it is moved into career resilience, right? Here you are looking at more from the career perspective and not just a job security perspective. What is going to come up as emerging is a dynamic employability. No longer it will be in terms of larger or longer tenure jobs from retention of a job perspective, but it will, the situation will be more dynamic. Let us look at the example of organization assessing the training needs. So traditionally, what was happening? The company was identifying what kind of skills or resources are required for the employees. So the organization was assessing. What is happening today? Today the organization is enabling, it is providing tools for assessing needs. It is keeping open a plethora of platforms, trainings available, and the employee now needs to go and see which one he wants to do or which training he is interested in. moving forward, it will be individual will provide tools for assessing the needs, right? So it is going to be more specific to the individual. So the focus will shift from the organization perspective to the individual perspective. So it is going to be how I keep myself updated and myself required for a particular skill, right? That should be taken into aspect. Looking at training and development, again, in a similar manner, earlier it was a focus of the organization to do training and development. Today, the individuals develop their skills to stay competitive, right? So it has gone from an organization to an individual perspective. And what is going to be the roadmap ahead? The organizations and individuals will probably co-invest in skill development. They'll team together. It will no longer be your or my view. It will be a joint view. So this is a indicator of how the trend is going ahead, and primarily what is the impact on the ways of working, how things are happening now, and how they have a visibility of moving ahead, right? So this is an important one, especially from if it's not related to this topic, but largely if you look at the recent construct in organizations, it is more of how the employees are able to sell themselves on their skills, right? So that's where it's heading towards. Let's look at some myths on BPO. I found these interesting, and these were in highlighted by one of the gentlemen from Wipro HR, right? Wipro Spectra Mind. And these are interesting myths which don't hold relevance, but yes, a large portion of I would say candidates or students have these myths. So let's look at some of these. The first one is BPO jobs are all about call centers, right? So the call center industry was the prime industry which started into outsourcing. The growth also of this industry came from call centers, right? So for sure, they were in the focus, right? But it is a myth that the jobs are all about call centers. We saw almost 10 industries earlier or domains written down, and call center was just one of them. So while this was a prime leader when it all started, but over the last couple of decades, it is spread across multiple domains, and today you have specialization where research work is outsourced, legal work is outsourced, so knowledge process outsourcing happens. So this is a myth that all the jobs are about call centers. Second myth, attrition, and it says odd working hours must be the reason. So while attrition is there in this industry, it is there in all industries, the attrition is a little higher in this industry. But the myth that it's the odd working hours which are causing attrition is incorrect, right? So you have so many industries which are running 24/7, right? Most of the government organizations, in terms of the utility supplies, right? So for example, the electric supply suppliers, that industry works largely 24/7. You have the healthcare industry, right? Hospitals are functioning 24/7. So does it mean that there's a huge attrition there? Not necessarily, right? So there are industries which are working 24/7, which have odd working hours, but that is not the prime reason for attrition. Third myth, BPO jobs are for college graduates. Now, again, this myth probably stems from myth one in terms of call centers, where the skill level is not high and it is okay or quickly to one can quickly train a college graduate for a call center agent job, right? But this is, I would say, a myth because the employability is not only from a graduate perspective, it is into specialized services, specialized skills, and even experience is required, right? So that's kind of a myth. Fourth one, BPO jobs are dead end careers, right? So again, you have a dead end only if you refuse to change or don't want to do anything beyond what you are doing. It is not that the BPO job has a dead end career, it is primarily how the employee or the resource upskills himself, learns, keeps on learning regularly, moving into different domains, and how he progresses his career. The industry is not going to chart out careers for each of the employees, right? They will provide a platform. You will see that a certain aspect of job rotation is available. You can move from one process to other process. You can move from one domain to another domain. Based on your experience and time in the industry, you move from an agent to a team leader to a manager, right? So it is not that there is a dead end career, and I've seen that this industry has survived so many decades. So this again, myth. Fifth one, it's easy to get a job in BPO, right? So that again, 1, 3, and 5, these may be linked to when the industry started and from call centers, and probably there was a need to have people, a lot of guys available in shift, so that this particular cycle of call center runs 24/7. But that's not the case over the last couple of decades. You have a structured recruitment happening also in this industry. There will be requirements in terms of education, experience, attitude. So there are a good number of tests also that happen. You may have an aptitude test. You may have a domain skill test. There may be group discussions, interviews. So it's not that it's a walk-in job and walk-in thing. You just go in, have a quick chat, and you get a job. Now, that it's not that easy, right? So especially looking at the skilled work that is happening. If the requirement was, say, unskilled, where it was just, say, a call center agent, it was even acceptable that yes, it's easy. But let us look at a job where you are doing or working on capturing, say, trademarks, right? You are looking at gazettes released by countries, and where you are looking for similar trademarks for a particular brand, right? Now, this is a detailed job. It is not an easy job in terms of just finding a match. It's not a control F that you put in this name. Yes, I want to look at a trademark match for organization ABC. Let me check ABC. That's not how it works. The gazette may have references to so many companies or trademarks which are similar in nature, right, and which can get into legal infringement cases. So the skill requirement is there, and I would say getting a job in this industry, especially senior management job, may be tough as well, right? So this industry overall, if you see the numbers, contributes to around 7 to 8% to India's GDP. So in the Indian context, it's a huge supporter to the GDP, right? And it is an excellent avenue if one wants to carve out a long-term career. And as I mentioned, you have multiple domains now available. The skill requirements are there, areas are there. Chart out a particular career roadmap, and probably make a career in this industry as well, right? So these were the employment opportunities. Let us move ahead to skill sets. Okay, so what are the skill sets required, right, to get a job here in this particular industry? you have requirements of soft skills, hard skills, even hybrid. So let us look at what skill sets is referring to in the outsourcing industry. So as I mentioned earlier, the skills required here can be bifurcated into three different areas, soft, hard and hybrid, where the soft skills are obviously prime because you have more conversation, handling, interaction to do. Hard skills are core to what kind of on job or a particular job experience is required, and hybrid would be a combination of both. So soft skills, as I mentioned earlier, if you see that these are skills in the industry which are prime because this is more of a customer service oriented industry. You have a large portion of interaction with customers. So it is important to relate to customer contact at a human level, right? He should not feel it's an automated response that's coming up. So there's a lot of human interaction, whether it's on phone or it's email or online chat, right? So there's a lot of interaction here which warrants that this particular skill is important, and this is here you have an interaction with somebody who is you would want somebody who is generally when I call up a call center, I would want somebody who would try and understand the reason for my calling and help solve the problem, right? So soft skills are, again, we have covered some 10 of I would say such parameters under soft skills which are important for this particular aspect. So first one under soft skills is clear communication, right? Because there's a large amount of interaction, articulating or speaking in the required pitch, tone, these become important. And under the communication aspect, one needs to be able to clearly communicate, right, and communicate positively with the customers. So communication becomes key here. The reason why it is mentioned as clear communication is primarily because of the interaction happening across geographies where you have a difference in accent as well. Even if the language is common, you have different in accents, pronunciation. So the communication needs to be very, very clear to avoid any issues. Second one charted here is listening skills, right? Again, links to communication, one needs to be a very avid and active listener. And this is important because you will need to understand what the other guy is saying, speaking. You need to let him complete his sentence, clarify what he wants to, I would say, communicate, indicate, or what is the need that he's wanting, right? From so listening skills become important, and the resource here will need to demonstrate. Probably there's no visual available, but the responses become important in terms of how you are responding to the queries, right? Whether you are asking clarifying questions and making it more clear, right, to minimize the gap, right? So it's an important aspect of customer service, right, and making the customer feel heard. So the third one on the soft skills is self-control, right? Now sometimes the situations can go out of hand or out of control. It may be a pressure situation with you, or it may be a pressure situation at the customer end. So it is important as a service provider to remain cool and calm, right? Even when the customer is not at that level at the other end, right? So patience, self-control becomes a key here, and one should avoid getting upset and saying something which can cause embarrassment or lead to issues in the engagement, right? So self-control talks about all that. The fourth one is positive attitude. Now this is important from the perspective that it may not always be a situation where it's just a give and take, right? So if you are in probably the marketing side, or if it's a proactive pitch, so conveying the benefits of what you're selling in a positive manner will help build the customer confidence, right? So one has to be really positive in terms of the pitch that a person is making. You cannot be putting up simple or normal questions like, will you want to buy this product, right? One will have to really bring out positivity in the communication of highlighting the solution, the benefits, and how it will have, I would say, more of a customer engagement built on with this com, right? So this attitude, positive attitude, will help solutions where even you, not necessarily in sales, this attitude is also important where you are addressing an issue as well. So the confidence that you demonstrate will help calm the situation. It will help, it will make the customer feel, yes, the person is looking at solving his issue. Assertiveness is the fifth one, right? So assertiveness is sometimes required. So it is not, it doesn't mean saying yes to everything, right? Assertiveness means being vocal in terms of the communication being made of a situation or a communication which is a part of a discussion, and doing that communication in an efficient manner, right? One needs to speak clearly and steadily in the right pitch and with the right queries, I would say. So it is, I would say, a misconception that if you are doing customer service, you just should be listening to stuff of what is being said. And you may have observed this in some of your interactions with, say, the telco service provider, right? So you will find sometimes the agent or the person on the call is strongly trying to make a point, right? He and if you think about it with a cool mind, you will see that he is trying to logically indicate or respond with a situation at hand. For example, there may be an ask from me, say to a service provider in the telecom field. Say I call up Vodafone or Airtel, right? And I have a question, a query, or I demand a certain way of how the process should be happening, say in terms of a payment methodology, right? Sometimes you will find that the respondent is very assertive in terms of saying, no sir, that is not how the process works. So he doesn't fear or refrain from trying to stick to the point, right? Rather than saying, yes, let me try, do it, if it's not possible. So there is a level of assertiveness in the response. Sixth one is conflict resolution. Now, this is also important. You may be in situations where you may have conflicts. So it is important to be a creative problem solver, right? You should have a clear understanding of the issue, what the conflict is about, and be able to offer a realistic solution to the customer, right? So conflict resolution becomes important, especially where there are disconnects in the understanding or engagement. Moving ahead, the seventh one is empathy, right? So now empathy is also important, and it is important to understand and empathize at least with the customer and try to get a feel of his situation, right? So the customer sometimes may be in a dire situation, or the caller may be in a situation which is not very good or not upbeat, right? And it will help if the agent at the other end or the customer service representative empathizes with the customer and makes him feel, right, that his problem is being understood and his situation is being known, right. It touches more on the understanding of the person's emotional state. But yes, it is important to empathize and understand and make the situation more, I would say, cordial in terms of trying to place yourself in the person's situation and analyzing the problem from his view, right. Eighth one is depersonalization, right. So, sometimes discussions or interactions get into a different tone or different, I would say, kind of dialogue, right. So, it is important that one doesn't become personal, right, and start citing his part of the issue as well. So, if an agent, say, is having challenges at home, he's had a bad day, he's come on the shift and on the call, it is important for him not to bring out that situation on the call in terms of trying to tell the customer, you don't know what I'm going through. So that's not what will help the situation, right. So one needs to be very professional in terms of approaching or resolving the issue and trying to be impartial or keeping the customer transparent of the situation at hand, right. So, this also is an important aspect, depersonalization, in supporting the customer, making him feel that his issue is understood. And yes, you are running a process, right. So, you do have a certain, I would say, SOPs or standard operating procedures defined to address certain issues. So, one should be very professional in terms of the response rather than getting into a personalized response. Sometimes the customer may not have that level of knowledge as well. So, such situation also one needs to be a little professional in approach. The ninth one is taking responsibility. So, the it is important to understand that you represent, if you are an employee of an outsourcing company and your company is engaged with a certain customer, it is important to understand that now you are representing your organization, right. And then you may be part of a particular process and something wrong may have happened in a related process taken care by your company itself, right. But that doesn't mean you say that's not my job or it's somebody else's job, please talk to ABC. Here, if you are made aware by the customer that there has been a delay or a defunct in the quality or issue with a product that was or a service given, one needs to take responsibility in acknowledging and probably sincerely apologizing to the customer on behalf of the company and internally putting it up to the right stakeholder for resolution. So, taking responsibility becomes important. It makes the customer feel that yes, it is a single organization and people are internally connected and can help solve the issue. The 10th one, it's a little different, which is a sense of humor. Now, why this is included, why is it even reflecting under skill sets, right? So, this is not a trait which is learnt by the book, right? So, of late the situations are very tense, right? There is a huge kind of pressure on everybody, whether it is a customer or the representative. A sense of humor, and again, there's a large, and this is this can be dangerous also. It has negatives also. So a light touch of humor to the situation can help diffuse the tension, right? But it cannot be in terms of it is not cracking of a joke, right? The sense of humor doesn't mean one needs to crack a joke on receipt of a customer call or an issue. That's not sense of humor. A light touch of humor in terms of the interaction happening, and it's instant. It is not something which is, as I mentioned, by the book. It helps calm down the situation. So this is more in terms of easing the tension created on account of an issue, right? And as I said, it has to be a very controlled action or response. It cannot be a hard code rule in terms of, as I mentioned, on receipt of a call you crack a joke. That doesn't work, right? So these were the 10 points that we've covered or touched upon on the soft skills part. Thank you.